At the beginning of the service today, I read John chapter 20, verses 1 through 10. I will now read verses 11 through 18. I will now read verses 11 through 18. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was indeed Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them what he had said to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, on this Easter morning, we pray that you would open our minds, our hearts, and our souls up. And may what is said, heard, and understood be pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen. So when you think about Easter, what do you think about? Easter egg hunts, colorful Easters, colorful eggs. You think about bright, colorful outfits, Easter bonnets, Easter parades, if you're old enough to remember the song. You think about lilies and about other bright flowers. You think about the sun shining and a beam of light streaming down to highlight the tomb with its stone rolled away. Reminds me of a cartoon that was sent to me. It's a two-panel cartoon. The top panel has a picture of the tomb with the stone rolled away, a cloud in the sky, and a sunbeam coming down. And God the Father is saying, "Okay, son, it's time to resurrect." And Jesus is saying, "Ah, Dad, can't I have 15 more minutes?" And God says, "You resurrect right now, young man." We've come through terrible times. We've come through seeing Jesus celebrate his Last Supper, demonstrating servitude, and then dying a horrible death. And on a side note, I'm glad to see everybody came back after Friday night service. The disciples were the same way. On Saturday, it was a holy day, so they could not do normal things. The disciples spent that day in pain and depression, having bad feelings, not knowing what was going to happen. And then Jesus arose. And all is right with the world once again. One problem. That first Easter morning, everything was far from being right with the world. You had disciples that were cowering, unsure, confused, in disbelief. You had Mary Magdalene, her heart broken. Here was the man that had saved her, gone. What was she to do? This man that had healed people, who had spoke truth, who had lifted the hearts of many, gone. How can this happen? As I said, Saturday was the Sabbath, so no one was able to go to the tomb. So come Sunday morning, as soon as she could, Mary went to the tomb. I think she went to the tomb because she wanted to be as near as possible to Jesus, to help her work through all of the grief. And then she gets there. And the very large and heavy stone that had been used to seal Jesus' tomb had been rolled away. Somebody had gotten in. Her first thought was probably, oh my gosh, someone has taken the body of the Lord from the tomb. Someone has taken him. Who would do such a thing? So she runs back to the disciples and brings them to the tomb. Simon Peter and the other the apostle, who more than likely was John himself, came running and they looked into the tomb. And Peter and John only saw the burial cloths. They didn't see the body. Someone had taken him, and their despair and their depression probably deepened. And they left and went back, leaving Mary there. Mary's weeping. And she looks in and she says, sees those two angels that say, why are you weeping? They've taken my Lord. I don't know where they have laid him. She turns around and there's a man standing there who she thinks is the gardener, who says, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? And she says, she pleads with him, sir, if you have carried his body away, tell me where he is, and I will take him away. And Jesus says a single word. He calls her by name, Mary. And she responds, teacher. And he tells her, I want you to go tell my boys what you have seen and what you have heard. And as Mary is running to the disciples, the end credits of this movie roll. Happy music is played, and there's a title card that is put up that said, they all lived happily ever after. The truth is, it was not happily ever after for many of the followers of Jesus. The disciples, who were now called the apostles, spread out and began proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Peter stayed in Jerusalem and established what you would call the home church, a place of teaching and of refuge for those spreading that good news. And the apostles went out, Asia Minor, Syria, into what is modern-day Russia, to Rome and to other parts of the world, spreading that good news about Jesus Christ. And they faced much resistance to that message. And many of the apostles, their lives ended tragically. James was beheaded. Simon Peter was to be crucified, and he said, "I do not deserve to be crucified like my Lord," and asked to be crucified upside down, which is not a pleasant way. Andrew, who went to Asia Minor, it is said, was crucified as well. Many of the other disciples were killed for what they were saying. Tradition says that only John died a natural death. So here was the greatest miracle that had ever happened in the world. The greatest miracle that has ever happened since to present day. You think that things would have gone a little bit better. You would have think it would have been easier to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. So what kept these people going? What kept them spreading the good news of the gospel? I'm sure that they struggled with many questions. Why the heck am I doing this? Maybe I should quit. How much more of this can I really take? But they had been with Jesus. They had heard what Jesus had said, and they had seen the miracles and the things that Jesus had done. They knew the message had to get out. It was just too wondrous. They had the faith to take a step forward, and then another, and then another, and then another. To say that our lives today are not like the happy endings that we see in our favorite films is quite an understatement. We face many obstacles in our lives that just seem to be so formidable. And we ask ourselves the same questions that the apostles asked. Why am I doing this? Maybe I should just quit. How much more can I really take? Is God even listening to me? And how the heck do I take and move forward? And many times, oh, my faith is just so weak. Over Lent, we have been focusing upon what it means to live a good enough life. We've talked about how our expectations of perfection, while worthy goals, just aren't realistic. We're not going to get there. There's no perfect path. We need to acknowledge that we will fall short of perfection, celebrate what we can do, and be happy in the arms of our perfect Savior. And my friends, all the things that we talked about hold true for the faith that we have. Our faith is never going to be perfect. Nor is it really meant to be. We're meant to lean on Jesus. Our faith will crack. Our faith will fade sometimes. And at some times, it will have appeared to disappear, to not be there at all. But as long as we take and we hold on to a little bit of faith, as long as we keep trusting in that miracle that happened that first Easter morning, and all the things that had opened up to us, as long as we hold on to that faith, it's enough that we can take a step forward, and then another, and then another, and then another. And that, my brothers and sisters, that faith is good enough. Amen. We come to the time in our service where we lift up to you, to God, the cares and concerns of our hearts. They are listed here. Yeah.